Okay.
We are joined at the media center by Eddie Kramer, who was our preliminary number one qualifier on the Screaming Eagle Vance and Hines Harley Davidson after a 6.785 at 199.67 miles per hour during the second round of qualifying. So coming off your championship season, how great is it, just first of all, just to be back at the track and being running again?
Well, obviously, as racers, that's where we want to be, is at the track. Last thing I wanted to do is be sitting back in Indiana getting snowed in or rained in or whatever the heck is going on right now. It's better than the East Coast side of it where I'm from, but, you know, it's good. Good to be back out racing. We had a very successful test session earlier in the week, went down to Orlando Speed World, made a couple laps. We liked what we saw. Loaded our stuff up, came to Gainesville, and you know, pretty much started right where we left off, and that's our motive going into these first couple races. We really didn't change anything from Pomona on our motorcycles. We opted to come here, be fresh, be ready, know what it is we have under us, because you know, as you go into the winter time, you tend to make a lot of changes, and there's a possibility of being lost. You know, and well, we knew what that feeling was like earlier on in last year. Worked through that, got through the battle, and here we are back out in Gainesville. Pretty excited with my 78 lap. Our first run wasn't so hot. We came off the truck, went a 112 60 foot, put our heads together, collectively made some changes on both motorcycles, and we were able to muster up, you know, an 80 on Andrew's and a 78 on mine, both at 199 miles an hour. So it's definitely moving in the right direction.
For the record, I picked you to go 200, just saying, but aside from that, you have been very successful at this track. It seems like clockwork. When it's the Gator Nationals' first race of the year, we can expect Eddie Crayoy to come out and lay it down. What do you attribute that to? Is that just knowing the track very well, or is that the due diligence being put in the off season to make sure that we come week one, we're going to be ready?
Sorry, I let you down. I was hoping to be that guy to go 200. You know, one thing I really do want to mention. You know, Denso stepped up for years. We haven't had anybody representing that 200 mile an hour club, and this is the first year Denso steps up, puts the money up, and Hector Jr. went out there and did it. Good for him. You know, I mean, it shows you how competitive this class is. And the one thing that I really do want to touch on, brand parity across the board. Everybody's running good ETs, good speeds. All that plays into everybody's work over the winter. You know, and for us, I think what we do really well here is the way that we attack the beginning of the season. I can't tell everybody because I don't want to give it away, you know, and I'd probably have to go on a, you know, go on a spree back in my pits doing damage control, telling all the guys, man, I didn't mean to tell them that. But no, it's really, we try to just play it smart. You know, there's usually, you come to this race and a lot of people aren't prepared. You're at that point that you're not ready with all your new stuff that you implemented over the winter. We go about things a little different. You know, this is a long horse race. And ever since that countdown came into it, it kind of changed the way a lot of teams attack the point system. I'm open to say it in public. I'll tell everybody, you need to just be there all season long. And then the countdown, you need to hit your stride. And if you can't hit your stride at that time, you could be a hero for the first part of the year. And then when the wheel falls off, I don't want to be on that thing. I want to be on the one with it chugging down there going. So I'm very comfortable here. I love this place. The fans are great. I get excited, man. And when I'm pumped up and I'm ready to rip, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run with the best of them. So I'm getting older. My run's slowing down a little bit, but you know, I got a great group of guys behind me, and that's really what I attribute all my success to. You know, I have a great group. You know, we got now almost 40 employees back at the Vance and Hines Race Shop that work on racing equipment all day, every day. So you know, those guys do a good job, and we're proud to come out here and represent them.
Eddie, you're way more animated and loose than I think I've ever seen you. What do you attribute that to?
I feel I'm in my prime right now. I personally feel that there's nobody that's going to shake me on my game. I'll tell you, I I believe, and I have no problem speaking my words, is the fact that I think when I get to that starting line, there's nobody that's going to beat me. And that's my mentality, and that's the way I feel. Of course, we all win and we lose some. But, you know, when you lose, if you dwell in that moment of losing, you're never going to get out there and be a winner. So the way that I look at it, if I win this race, when I win this race, and when I go home on Sunday with a Wally, I have that Wally, I have a good time, I have dinner with all my buddies and all my crew guys, and we're focused on that next race. We're not partying about this race. We're saying, what do we got to do to win the next one? And, I have a good group of individuals behind me and under me, and everybody that gives me a motorcycle that rides, I don't want to let them down, you know, and that's really what drives me forward. And I try to stay on the tree. I learned a lot early on in my career. I made mess up, you know, screw ups in the middle of it, as I'd like to say. My stats may not show it, but I've learned a lot. And anybody out here that has been, you know, I'm out here 11 years now. Anybody that says that they're not learning every lap down that track, they're not being open.
It's really been 11 years.
Yeah, it's been 11 years, believe it or not. I got a lot of grays. I mean, they're coming in. They're getting there. I'm going to have to start using that Just for Men stuff, combing it in. But, you know, it's all about having a good time. If you can't have a good time out here, you're going to struggle just doing anything in general.
Eddie, how disappointing was it to see that 200 flash up? I know you said you had a 200-mile-an-hour motorcycle.
Yeah, I do. I believe I lost it on that run there. I was my bike was trying to go left. I was hanging right. I think it could have went 200 that lap. I'm not disappointed. I think it's great for the class. It's great PR. We need that. You know, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing needs just a positive energy behind it. Sure, I wanted to be that guy to do it. It was the only milestone left. The way I look at it is, that was the number 3 200-mile-an-hour run because I did it first. I did it in testing, and when the internet broke because it happened, doesn't mean that I wasn't legal or whatever, but no, it's I give him tons of credit. Those guys work hard over there. They deserve to run well. But now that that's done, I need to win the race. That's the way I look at this.
Is that almost a relief that now you can get past all the 200-mile-an-hour talk and just focus on winning a race?
Well, I still think all the fans are going to come up now and be like, hey, when are you going to go 200? Or, you know, it's like, it's always a talking point, and that's really good. And what we need to see here at NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Races is different numbers on that scoreboard, because when the fans see, they can relate to that. There's a 1 and a 2. They can say, hey, that's 100, that's 200 miles an hour. So when you can relate to that, I personally believe I would love for NHRA to give us a little more, give us a little fuel, give us a little something that's gonna get us that diversity side of it. You know, because that creates drama and interest, and the best way to do that is change that number in front of that mile an hour to a 100 and a 200, because when that happens, people look at it and it builds interest.
Go ahead, sir.
The floor is yours.
All right. Benson Hines Racing has been running a two-bike team for a very long time. Do you see that continuing for the future, Eddie?
You know, I'd like to say I see it potentially, you know, there could be plans for growth. You know, we had the opportunity to touch on a third bike last year, and Chip Ellis came out to Pomona. We did it for other reasons than just, you know, putting an extra motorcycle out on the track. We did it for data. We did it, more importantly, for Chip, to get Chip out there because his team owner passed away and, you know, there wasn't or was in, right. in bad shape. And unfortunately, we lost Junior, and Junior was a great racer out here and a supporter. But the thing for us is it's about getting motorcycles and getting this class is healthy right now. There's a lot of motorcycles, a lot of interest. There's probably about 8 or 10 motorcycles that are in the country that aren't here right now that, you know, they weren't ready. They're a little lower funded teams, and we'll pick up motorcycles as we go to certain areas. But we are a motorcycle racing factory, as I'd like to say. You know, we don't just dabble in drag racing. We do a lot of different sports. And when you look at what Vance and Hines does and who we are, we play a lot in the motorcycle. We have a Top Fuel motorcycle. Who knows? Maybe we're going to expand in Top Fuel. It's stuff for us. We sit down, you know, usually in the later part of the year and have discussions. Andrew, myself, Matt, Byron, Terry, we're all a big group of let's just say, racers at heart, and that's what we want to do. And we try to support everybody as much as we can within the industry. So right now, I tell you that the performance industry for motorcycles is thriving. I don't say that we're on a downswing like everybody talks about economy. Just right now, we are just slam-packed busy, and it's great. I mean, our success probably is part of that, but it's just good to be out here racing.
So you're back to the two old chassis, or are you using one of the newer chassis?
These are the bikes that we finished the season with last year, Andrew and myself, and we basically just prettied them up a little bit, dolled them up, took them apart over the winter, fresh coat of paint on the chassis, although they don't even look it because we kind of beat them up a little bit the last couple weeks, 2 weeks here, but you know, it's they're race bikes. If they're not scratched up or looking pretty, they're not fast.
When you look at the class as a whole, especially coming out here, I know it's noticeable when you look at the different ETs on the board that it's a pretty competitive class. Would you say that now, in this season, that this could be the season that catapults, and same thing with kind of pro stock car, so to speak. It's a very tight class, and that would you say that the class is becoming tighter, and that's something that can elevate pro stock motorcycle and give it that, you know, that oomph that it needs to really latch on as far as the fan base?
Well, I would say the competition in the class right now definitely has come together a lot closer, has gotten tighter. What I do say, and the reason why I make it where these guys, you have a lot of people that don't just have a team. They have multiple motorcycles out here, and that is what's making, you know, somebody I'd point out is Greg Underdahl. He's racing with four motorcycles underneath his canopy. The amount of data that team can gather throughout a weekend is immense, because if you get, at the end of qualifying, just alone at the end of qualifying, you're looking somewhere at 16 runs. You know, there's other two-bike teams that are looking at eight. When you're one and you only have four, it makes it difficult. He runs an awesome, great rental program. That's another thing. Like, pro stock motorcycle, unlike some of these other categories, you know, pro stock car, top fuel, funny car, it takes hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to go racing. And you can go race pro stock motorcycle for tens of thousands of dollars. You know, if you had 100 grand, you could be out here on a motorcycle going up and down the drag strip in front of all these people. And that's really one of the things that makes this class so successful. It's a stepping stone. It's a great way to get involved in the series at a pro level. You know, so it's getting tighter. There's a lot more, let's just say, data and better motorcycles that are being offered to individuals. So, you know, the guy that was sitting in the number one spot on the first session, Joey Gladstone, he's renting that ride. Scotty Polachek's renting the ride. You know, it's like a rent-a-ride program. It's a, you know, it's like, hey man, I need a bike for the weekend. All right, I got one. It goes 670s. Sure, you know. So it's really an awesome program to see what all these guys are doing, and it thrives and makes the class just that much better. And we are getting tighter racing from it. So right now, I think usually when you look at a ladder, it's, once you hit the top 12, they're all glued together within a few hundreds of each other, and that makes for great Sunday racing. That means don't screw up, get on the ball and be ready.
All righty. Thank you, Eddie.
All right, guys.